Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Chavez. Today's guest is English teacher Lila from Brazil. Teacher Lila and I talked about a lot of different things. We had a 1 hour conversation. For this reason, I'm gonna split our episode into two parts. In part one, we talk about how teacher Lila was able to become fluent in English without doing any English course. Learning language for fun. As a music lover, teacher Lila used songs to learn not just English but also German and French. The importance of making your target language part of your life. Teacher Lila has visited over 30 countries. In this episode, she shares with us her experience traveling in Europe, studying in London, and visiting other countries. Finding foreigners to practice English in real life through couchsurfing and being a host for couchsurfers. I had such an amazing time talking with teacher Lila. I really enjoyed our conversation and I'm sure that you guys are gonna enjoy it as well. Learning a new language changed my life. And I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. Today I'm so excited to have teacher Lila on the show. Hi teacher Lila, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hey Chalice, my pleasure. I'm pretty good today. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well and I'm so thankful that you are here. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. Just a little bit of background story about how we ended up in this call is that I connect with teacher Lila on Instagram, and it's so surprising because I've been meeting so many amazing and incredible guests just by using Instagram. I really love Instagram, and so I invited teacher Lila to be on the show and she kindly agreed to be here, and we are recording this conversation. Again, thank you so much. Could you please introduce yourself?
I'm Lila. I'm a 30-year-old ESL teacher from Brazil. I've been teaching English for the past 10 years now, so I started pretty young when I was 19. It was my first year of college. It was like a side job. I graduated in media and communication, but I never really worked on that. I was always working with English on the side. That's me professionally speaking.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. So the first question that I have here for you is, could you share with us a little bit about your journey with English? When did you start learning?
Yeah, I mean, I started learning English when I was pretty young. I was around 8. I'm from the 90s. So back then we didn't have any internet access or whatever. My biggest entertaining way of spending time would be basically listening to the radio. And there I would really enjoy some like songs from the 70s, 80s and 90s. Most of them were in English. And that's how I first got in touch with the language. And then from there I started escalating a little. I started to listen to some specific bands. My first favorite band was the Backstreet Boys, which I believe everybody might know. And then I was like in love with them, and then I was hearing them frequently. So that's how I started. I was pretty young, and like at school for me was also something fun. I was like listening for fun and learning it for fun. So for me it was like always a pleasure to be in touch with that language.
So basically your passion for music and songs in general, they helped you to discover like the English world. So you got excited to start learning this language. language. I bet you would want to sing the song so bad when you used to hear them in the
exactly.
radio.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It started like that. Like, first it was only on the radio and like I had no touch with, you know, the language before ever. And then I had this little dictionary for school. And then before I even got CDs, I used to record the songs on tapes. And with these recordings, I would like try to learn how to sing the songs. But of course, clearly I couldn't because I had no background on it. And then it started out with me and like a little piece of paper and a pen trying to write down the songs by myself, like, you know, handwriting, literally. And it was a difficult task because, of course, some words I was familiar with, but others totally not. And then I was like basically just trying to go word by word from the song in the dictionary, like trying to find like the meaning and figure it out what the lyrics was so that I could at least start singing along. And then from there, I escalated from translating them so like I could know what I was actually singing. So it was a fun process because I had no idea of what I was doing. I was literally just doing it for fun. But here I am today, you know, English is my second language. So I'm proud of it.
That's amazing. So I was born in the 90s. So I used to listen to a lot of radio and I used to record myself on tapes. Not just me, but also I have a cousin that we would get together and we would record some tapes of each one of us singing. And I wish so bad that I could have these tapes nowadays to listen to them. And I remember that sometimes I would hear a song on the radio and I thought that song in English was really cool. And I really wanted to sing along, but I couldn't. And sometimes I would try to write down the way that I thought that the song sounded. I don't know what was that, but for sure it wasn't English. But I would try to sing. And that was such an amazing and incredible time. And I still have these good memories. And I'm a music lover. I spend a lot of time listening to music and songs. And I truly believe that songs helped me to increase my vocabulary and to improve my pronunciation. Because as a shy person, I avoid for so long during my journey with English to talk with other people. But to sing, I wasn't shy to sing like by myself. So I think this helped me a little bit. Okay, so I'm curious. I would like to ask, because a while ago I made a post on Instagram asking people for them to send me some suggestions of Japanese songs. And you were one of the people who sent me a song in Japanese. And I really loved that song. So my question is, do you know other languages besides English? Maybe Japanese? I don't know. Do you listen to Japanese songs a lot?
It's a very interesting question. I'm a huge music lover. So I'm like always trying to find out and like to discover new songs and artists and whatever. Also like same, like on the 90s, I was like a huge MTV fan. So I was like always watching MTV, and MTV was huge in Brazil back then. And then I was like always like a side B kind of person. So I was like, you know, I was not much into like the traditional kind of music and the, you know, the pop songs and the whatever we had every day on the radio. That was never really me. So I always had like a peculiar taste for tasting music. And then, yeah, so I was like always trying to find out new song. Always, always, always. And then, yeah, I got into, I don't even know. And like, so in the 2000s, I was like when the internet came over, I started like finding crazy nice music for my taste, of course. And then I was basically like digging stuff on the internet. I was like literally just digging, trying to find new stuff, or sometimes random songs would come to me and whatever. That's how it started. But yeah, basically I'm into, yeah. So last year, I got into some Asian music. I'm not the biggest fan of Asian culture, but in terms of music, they really like attracted me. Like 80s and 90s Asian music is the kind of stuff that I'm really into like right now in the past few months. So it was great to hear. But I've had phases. In terms of languages, I've had phases. So English was always like number one language for me in everything in my life. And then when I was a teenager, I was a little bit into French. I love French. I can also speak French. So I was into French for a while, but not so deep, like not so much. And then when I was like around 19, I got really into German, like because German's like a really different language from, you know, we come from Latin language, so Portuguese, French, they're somehow the same. So German for me was a bigger challenge that I wanted to follow, and it was like really interesting. So I like had contact with a language that was so different from mine, like also 10, 12 years ago, and it was excellent. And like, it's funny because every language phase I had, let's call it like this, every language phase I had was connected to a style of music I was listening to back then. So like I can like work on my memory like this, or phases of my life based on songs and bands that I was listening to, and I can recall what I was doing and who exactly was I in that phase of my life. So it's an interesting point of view. So yeah, so I had my French phase, my German phase, and now I'm a little in my Japanese phase, but not for the language, basically for the music style. But like, and it's kind of, they kind of all grouped together. It's not that like I've left any of them behind. They're all part of who I am now. So they all come together. So that was all built up until like the person I am today.
That's amazing. Some of the things that I truly believe is that when you make a new language part of your life, this is the key to succeed in the learning process of that language, because this is not boring. You are always excited. You are surrounded with the language, which it's a really important element. And sometimes I feel like people forget that you need to keep in touch with the language that you want to learn. This is one of the most important things to achieve fluency or to be able to communicate. Another thing, so it seems like you have a passion in general for a lot of languages. And when you said about that you had different phases, I can relate, because I remember that, I don't know, 8 years ago or 7 years ago, I used to watch a lot of anime, which is in Japanese, but I completely stopped as I got older. I didn't have too much time. And nowadays, I decided to try to move on to try to learn another language. So I am attempting to learn Japanese. Guess what I started doing? I started to watch anime again, because it's like an old passion that I had that I'm revisiting. And I'm really enjoying the process. I'm just watching anime for now. But let's see 5 years from now. Okay, so let's move on to the next question that I have here. What techniques, methods, and resources did you use to learn English? So basically, you had experience with English throughout your years of school and high school, and then also through songs, you had some kind of interaction with the language. But after that, did you took like some course, you studied by yourself? What you did to really dedicate yourself to learn English?
That's also very good. So I just followed the traditional methods of learning English. So I never paid like for a private course, or I never had like a private teacher or anything. I just did what I could with, you know, with what I could. So like, I, of course, as a student, I knew I liked the language. I knew like I had the ability for it, but I had no extra money, or my family didn't have any extra money to, you know, put me to a private school or whatever. And I was never frustrated by it. You know, that was never something that frustrated me. Like the fact that we had no money to, you know, so that I could go to a private school and learn there. And like private English institutions in Brazil were also huge in the 2000s. So everybody, if you had a little extra money, all the kids were there. So it was like almost some sort of social interaction too. But again, like during school, I was like just doing my thing, like keeping my life, keep going with my life. I don't even know how I became fluent. It just got to the point that, I don't know, I felt comfortable enough. But there were some things that changed when I was like a teenager, let's say. So I was already in touch with English, let's say from 8 to 18, at least 10 years, you know, in touch, I could say every day, but not consciously. It's not that like I was like, wow, I'm studying English or whatever. And then I had English at school, which for me was somehow easy. And like my teacher, I have a great memory of a great teacher that I had at school, like during high school. He was excellent because he was the person I could relate to when I had questions and whatever. And, you know, I could get in touch with him because he was the person, he was the only person I actually had in the last 10 years to answer all the grammar questions that were unanswered in my life. You know, when I was like on my dictionary, I remember one problem that I could never figure by myself was the difference between wall was and were, because I knew they're both verb to be, but I was just like, yeah, but why here use was and why there use were? I couldn't understand. You know, I couldn't understand also the verb get, that which is such a flexible verb, has so many meanings. I was just like, why? So lots of like unanswered questions that I had. I had a teacher that I could ask during classes. And then during classes, I noticed I was also way more advanced than the other regular students in my class. So I knew I had a thing for English, like a little extra. And then I knew I could do something about it. Like from there, my passion for traveling also developed. And I knew that I want to be in touch with other people, with like foreign cultures, and to meet other people, because I also wanted to leave my country one day eventually, even if it's just for traveling, just, you know, as a hobby. And then around 2015, I guess, there was this program which was really, really famous all around the world and in Brazil too, which was called Couchsurfing. So Couchsurfing was this website where you'd get to meet people from all over the world in different ways. So people who were like traveling and visiting your city, they could send you a message. So it was just like a social network, but you could offer, for example, a place in your house for these people to stay if you had like an extra room or something, or you could just offer yourself to hang out with these people when, like, while they're visiting your hometown, and then you could hang out with them and show them places and stuff. So I was a teenager, I had lots of free time, and I wanted to practice English. So sometimes I could host people, like, of course, I lived with my family and I had to ask if it would be okay, and then they would tell me. Otherwise, I would just hang out, you know, that would never be a problem. So I was like, so I had my profile there. So first, my profile was in English. I had to like write in English. People would write me in English. So that's how I started having contact with like people from abroad. That was my first contact. And also, like Recife, that's where I'm from, is a northeast city in Brazil, like one of the biggest cities in Brazil too. And Recife is right on the coast. So there I was on the beach. So the beach is always like a tourist attraction anywhere. So like 2000s, there were also lots of foreigners, lots of travelers, lots of backpackers going to Recife too. And for me, that was like a dream come true, because I could meet everybody just being at home. And I lived at the beach. I lived where people were. So I could be in touch with them too. So that was my first touch ever. I remember the first time ever that I spoke English was with three Swiss girls. I was on a bus traveling to the beach, like a beach 1 hour away from my house. And I think they got in or something, whatever. And then I noticed that they were there, and I was so nervous because I knew I could speak English. I was like 16 or 17. And I was like crazy to talk to them, because this is like one of the biggest secrets. Like when you know that you're, let's say, good enough in English, or that you can communicate in English, when you can, you know, think in English or communicate with yourself, like when you think just you and your mind, when you see English there in your mind, then you know that you can also speak. And I knew it. I was just like, oh my God, I know everything I want to say to these girls. I just wanted to be nice and to talk to them. And of course, I was very nervous, but it was, you know, I said something, I don't know what I asked exactly, but probably something about tourism. And then we talked a little bit. And of course, I was nervous, but I was so happy to be in touch with somebody that was like outside from my universe, you know, outside from my country. I could actually speak English. And then, like, of course, I tried to be friends with them while they're also there on vacation. So I said, are you guys going to be hanging here for a while? So I'm also going to be hanging here. Let's meet up downtown and do something, whatever. So they were also friendly. They're also open because they were in a foreign country, and they are probably also open to meet people. And I was like open to like receive people too, when, you know, living this experience. So it was really nice. And then from there, I was just like, yes, I'm totally capable of doing this. I'm totally capable of speaking English. And that's what I want to do. Like, I wanted more. At that point, I noticed I wanted more from the English language, and I wanted more from the world. I noticed the world was really big. So I wanted more. I wanted to know more people. I wanted to know where they come from. I want to know how it is in there. I wanted to know how they live, because we're all so different. And then it was just excellent. So that's when I started like with couch surfing. So lots of people coming over, and Carnival is also huge. So February, there were lots of tourists in Brazil too. So I was like mostly hanging with them. So this was big for like 2 or 3 years. This was huge for 2 or 3 years. Today, couch surfing is not the same thing. It changed a lot, the platform, but it's still okay. It's still all right, I guess. I don't interact through couch surfing anymore, but I think if people want to give it a try, they could also, you know, see and maybe see if it works for them, you know, why not? But yeah, that's how I started.
It's amazing. So I can relate when you said that when you were a kid, or when you were at school, you really really loved the English language, and that's so nice that you could count on your teacher to help you and to guide you to answer your questions and doubts about the language. I remember that I also had like a small obsession with English when I was at school. I really loved the classes, English classes, and I can say for sure that I would prefer having English classes than Portuguese classes. Portuguese, it's kind of insane. I didn't like Portuguese when I was at school, I don't know why, but I always had this, like, something extra about English that caught my attention. I really loved studying English at school, but that was like unconsciously. Never thought that someday I would do something with English. And it seems like after this experience, you was surrounded with songs and then you start to understand the language and you were able to communicate with other people by using this Couchsurfing app. And I have a really nice story to tell you about Couchsurfing because I know this app. I used, when was that? In 2019. So this is a whole background story. I think that I already talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but basically I was doing an online program from Stephanie, the English coach, and then in there I met a lot of people online from all around the world, and then I hit it off with a really good friend of mine, Julio from Chile, and then we decided to go into a trip to Rio, and I knew already a little bit about couch surfing, and I know that this app has a tool called Hangout. And also, before going to Rio, I made a post saying, oh, my friend and I, we are going to Rio, so if you know how to speak in English, if you are a local, please reach out to us. And then when we were in Rio, a guy from Indonesia saw my post and he reached out to me and we became friends. And then this guy from Indonesia connect my friend and I with another people. We connect with Joel from Netherlands, and there's another girl, I forgot her name, but from Costa Rica, and it was so amazing experience. And nowadays we have so many resources to connect and to find people online to practice and use the language in an active way, and Couchsurfing is one of these options. Of course, that right now with the whole pandemic situation, it's kind of sad that people are not meeting as they used to, but it's still that this is a really awesome platform. I highly recommend, if you guys don't know what Couchsurfing is, I highly recommend you checking it out. And okay, something that I would like to ask is that, so it's clear that you have a passion for connecting with people and having conversation with people, as you said, from another universe. This is truly a unique experience, and I think that every people should have, because it's really life-changing when you can connect with someone so different than you. This is really awesome. And I saw a post on your Instagram that you made about showing people who is Teacher Lila, and some of the things that you mentioned is that you already went to 30 countries. This is awesome. And are you planning to go to more countries in the future?
Oh, if I could, I would have visited all the countries already. Yes, I've been to over 30 countries now, but it was a mix of how everything happened. So again, I've been working as an English teacher for 10 years. The first few years I was like living with my parents and with my family, so I didn't really have to pay bills, let's say like that. So I was just like saving all the money I could, because I didn't need to be like go spending my salary for nothing. Just like I saw people around doing, I was just like, why? And I was just like, of course, saving my money. And then like I tried to start traveling at least every year during like, you know, school break and like work break, so I could do that. And then in 2013 I got a scholarship to study 1 year in London. So I studied like as part of my undergraduate degree, so I studied in London for a year. And then of course from London I was able to travel all around a lot in Europe, and then it was excellent, because traveling in Europe, like traveling abroad from Europe, is also like a very different idea from what we have in Brazil, because it's actually cheaper. Like you can find flights for 5, 10, 30, 50 euros or so, or you know, pounds, depending on where you are. So there are low-cost companies which allow you to travel crazy cheap in Europe. So, and of course there's always like bus trips and everything that you can do, or trains, but I mean accessibility is something completely different. in Europe. So I was like, from there, I was able to go to a lot of countries. And in between in my life, whenever I was working, I was just like trying to save up to do a trip and stuff. But the year, of course, the year I visited most countries was in 2013, because I had the scholarship. And then and whenever I had extra time, I was traveling all around because I knew that would be a unique experience in my life. And from there, I wouldn't really be able to travel as much as, you know, as I had the chance back then.
That's amazing. This is phenomenal. And this is really inspiring. And I hope that in the future I can do something like that, because it's so sad. Even in Brazil, I just visited São Paulo, which my sister lives in there, and Rio, which is a beautiful place. And I couldn't get the chance to visit a lot of things because there are so many tourist places just in Rio. But yeah, this is something that I'm gonna try to do more often in the future, to travel more. And especially if you have English, you can have unique experiences going to other countries. And as you said, in Europe, it's kind of easier to travel around, especially because, I don't know, that people can travel by train as well, right? To one country to another, which I think it's really cool.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, of course. Here today, you have like train, buses, airplane, of course. And we also have like carpooling, which, you know, you there is an app where you can get rides from people. So it's the same idea of, you know, connecting to people. You know, they can be just travelers traveling around. And then the idea of the app is that, you know, you can travel from one place to another in the same country or to different countries. It depends on what people are offering. And then you just have to split gas. So you have to pay the ride for the gas or whatever. So, and it's also a safe app because people have to check their identity and their phone numbers and everything. So it's nothing just crazy. You just enter in, you know, a stranger's car. It's nothing like this. So there's also this possibility nowadays that people use. It's not, it's like some sort of carpooling, which is different from hitchhiking, right? With hitchhiking, you just go on the road with a sign saying I want to ride and then showing your hand, which is a little different. This is like a, you know, trustworthy app that you can try on.
Well, that's amazing. So a little bit of context for the listeners. I think we didn't mention yet, but you are not living in Brazil right now, right? You are in Germany, you told me.
Correct. Yes, I've been living in Germany for the past 2 years. Before Germany, I was living in Portugal. So I decided to go to Portugal to do a master's. But in the first 6 months there, I noticed I wasn't happy with the master's. I was doing a master's in political science. So I wasn't happy with the master's and with the country. Portugal is an excellent country, to be honest, like, you know, for tourism, I would say. But for living, I really didn't adapt there. It wasn't really what I wanted or what I expected for my life. So I wanted to try something else. I didn't want to go back to Brazil. And yeah, so I decided to come to Germany. Germany was the first country I ever visited also, when I, which is a coincidence, to be honest. In 2009, when I was 19, I came to Germany for the first time. So Germany was the first country ever that I stepped on. And then, yes, so I visited here around and I thought it was a nice country and I thought maybe I could live there one day. But 10 years later, here I am.
Wow, that's really amazing. And there is a fun fact. My hometown, the city that I'm living in right now, was colonized by German people, according to Wikipedia. Oh God, I know that. No, this, I think this is true, because sometimes when you go to the downtown of the city, sometimes you can hear people speaking in German, especially the old generation, because I feel like the new generation, they are kind of lazy to learn German, but you will probably see someone from the old generation speaking German sometimes, which is really interesting. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.